All right, it's the download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's 9:08, and we're here till 11 o'clock. Yeah, I as I said, you know, I got so many people who sent me articles in the old inbox. And they would say, a DNA info article, and they say, hey, these two guys walked Western Avenue, and they drank at all the bars on Western Avenue. They spent a weekend or whatever it was, right? And I'm like, well, all right, that's all right. You know, like, all right. Like, you know, and then somebody else is like, hey, did you have those two guys on who drank Western Avenue? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I cleaned the inbox, and I finally clicked on the link. And popping up is a picture of you two with Slickman. And it's like sort of like, these guys walked in. And it's Sean Benjamin and Steve Mosqueda. And I've known these guys for years because they're part of the Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind crew. It was all for a documentary called The Western Avenue Project, Drinking and Writing. That's the show they do. It's been a stage show. It continues to be a podcast, video. Of course, there's writing involved. It's spearheaded by these two great Chicago performers, Steve Mosqueda and Sean Benjamin. The Drinking and Writing Theater is at the Haymarket Pub in the West Loop. Both met as performing in Too Much Light, and they're my guests tonight here on The Download. Good to see you guys.
Hey, man.
Good to see you, too.
So the best part about this story is that this happened 5 years ago.
5 years
this
ago.
This was 5 years. So why did DNA Info write about your walking up Western Avenue, getting drunk in every bar?
Well, I think we both kept – they wrote a story recently about a group of people that walk up Western Avenue once a month or something like that. So we kept getting the – I kept getting these texts like, dude, did you see that article? Like, tell them what you did. And I said, yeah, you're right. So I emailed the guy and I said, you think that's cool? Try walking up Western Avenue and having a beer in every bar. I mean, that's
– What was the impetus behind doing this in the first place?
You know, I think we always get together and have some beers in a bar and discuss upcoming show ideas. And I forget what – I think we're just talking about going up and down Western Avenue because it's the longest street and continuous street in any city.
Yeah, and we found that out because we were doing research for the show. We were doing a show all about Chicago. And we started doing research about Chicago and, you know, the history of Chicago. You know. It's incredible. And so we discovered that Western Avenue is like the longest continuous street in a major city in the world. And we're like, we should do something with that. And I think one of us said, let's drink.
I got a better idea. Let's drink it.
So we counted the bars. I think, well, first we did a drive down. We drove down and counted all the bars and went on a map and kind of marked them all out. And then we're like, okay, let's divide this up over
four days.
And so we did it over Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I think there's like 64, 65 bars, give or take.
Yeah. And so you found different places where you could crash. That's the important thing. You didn't necessarily do two bars and then go all the way home.
Nope.
And then come back. You mapped it out and you went for it. What was the experience like? I mean, did you told every bar you walked in, you said, hey, I'm doing this thing. What was the reaction?
Well, the task was to have a pint in every bar we went into, which obviously we had more because people met us along the way. But no, we went in and we would tell people. Some people were welcoming. You know, some people when there's drinking involved got a little bit nervous and didn't want us recording because we had a little when we did it back then, it was the flip cams. That already dates us.
You're already dated.
Somebody saw that and said, you guys had flip cams? Were you poor? I was like, no, man. It was a few years ago.
We didn't have any phones. I had a flip phone if I had that.
I don't even know.
But some people were impressed by it. Some people were just like, you're out of your mind, or it can't be done. Because a lot of people thought there must be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bars.
So there's 64 bars.
Yeah.
And after the first night, you got too drunk.
I did, yes.
The first night, was the worst because it's Beverly. And there's, you know, 18 bars in a 7-block.
So you went south to north.
Yeah, we started 119th and started walking. And even before we got to 119th, we took the train from downtown, and we had a couple of like 16 ounces of Miller Lite, or
then we went into the Sky. What's it called? The Sky Bar.
It's called the Sky Bar.
Had a drink right before we even got to Western Avenue.
We started drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning.
So arrogant. And that was the fun part about this is that you really did start. You had to do full days, so it was like you started in the morning.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
as soon as places would open up, we started.
So, yeah, that's yeah.
That so was, the documentary was actually produced. It's online. I mean, it was 2012. It was produced. You guys had an editor put the stuff together.
Yeah, our friend Jamie Budzik, who's a big supporter of Drinking and Writing, we gave him all of this footage and said, hey, do you think he can? And he actually, we stayed at his house one night and he knew we were doing all this. But we said, hey, we got all this footage. You think you can do something with it?
It was like 20-something hours of drunken rambling.
It's on flip phone. It's flip camera.
Yeah, so Jamie put a lot of time into creating this video, which I think it's pretty good. He did a great job.
Now, when you guys think back on this, I mean, now getting press, I mean, the story's kind of going viral, and the fact that people keep sending it to me. I guess I'm the arbiter of viral. But you know, when you look back on it, I mean, would you do it again?
No.
I don't think I can do it again, actually.
Physically, I couldn't, no.
Yeah, it was a lot of drinking, but it was a lot of hours, you know? It was like, I'm usually in bed by 10 o'clock now. I mean, we were up, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2. We were partying, you know? It was a long haul, but I don't think I could do it again.
After the first night, I was just ill, and the next day I got up and I think we went over to the library in Beverly and just kind of fell asleep on some couches, and I was like, this is not going to happen. But we pulled it together.
Yeah, we went to Top Notch Burger and had breakfast.
Yeah, good place.
It's a great place. And then the second day we started, it was like 85 degrees and we were hungover and it was hot as hell, and there aren't very many bars all the way up through the 80s,
and you had
70s.
You had to walk
the whole time.
It's all car dealerships.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
lots of car dealerships on West Coast.
Totally.
There are no bars in there? I'm sure you could go into a drawer in the Ford dealership on 78th.
Yeah,
let me just ask you, what did you learn about Chicago doing it?
Oh, that was a long pause. Did you not learn anything?
No, what I was going to say was, which is true, I was thinking about having a beer. No, what I was thinking was in our video, Bill Savage, professor from Northwestern, he was a big supporter as well. But he kind of laid it out about the difference between the North Side and the South Side, and that there really isn't a difference. The only difference is they root for the Cubs and the South Side root for the Sox. But every bar that we went into when we told them what we were doing, they all had the same they were all excited. They all, you know, you got to be kidding me. And they would buy us shots or beers. And even though we didn't want them, you had to do them.
Yeah, right.
And it was just an enthusiasm that just went all the way up Western Avenue. And I think that's kind of one of the things I learned is that, you know.
Chicago is Chicago.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, we're all, like Bill said, you know, we're all Bears fans, you know.
And I think one thing I'll say I learned is that, and I say it in the video, that every neighborhood you go to, you know, Chicago is a neighborhood city, and every neighborhood was like, oh, how bad was it in that last neighborhood? And, oh, it's going to get bad up this way up north, but here you're good. But so it's funny how everybody's like so proud of their neighborhood, but they're like, that neighborhood down there, you probably got mugged, right? And I'm like, nope. And that's, it was really interesting because we had no issues at all.
There was this one guy, he had these really cool boots on, and he spoke only Spanish, and I can speak broken Spanish, and I think he thought I was making fun of his boots, but I actually said, I love your boots, and he wanted to kick my butt.
He knifed Sean. Yeah. That's a good start.
Next time it'll be you, Steve.
Sean Benjamin, Steve Mosqueda, they're part of the drinking and writing crew that has the theater behind the Haymarket Pub in the West Loop. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to know more about what you guys are up to. We'll talk about the philosophy behind drinking and writing and all the good stuff here on The Download. Stay with us. 26,000 blocks west of Western, straight Paul Damon. I was a player. Western Avenue, BNC, Western End, Michael Weston, Burno, the 610. West Germany, Western, 36K East. During the taste, you can get a job sweeping up streets. Take Western to Florida, take Western to Greece, take Western from MC Wilder. Right, take Western.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, it's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin, Beats by Zim, Beats by Pete Zimmerman. He's the one throwing out the Serengeti there.
Good job.
Yeah. Talking in studio, drinking and writing, Sean Benjamin, Steve Mosqueda, the longtime performers and creators of drinking and writing. The theater is behind the Haymarket and West Loop. You guys met doing Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind. What I love about your work is that you found a way to philosophically tie together what you do and what you did and drinking. And yes. And I've seen the show and I love it. And you guys talk about the great writers and their sort of connection and almost, I guess, inspiration from alcohol.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that was, you know, when we first came up with the idea, we were drinking. And we wanted to do a show about our favorite writers. We started with Bukowski, and we were going to do a show called Book on Ice, and it was going to be some kind of Christmas show. And then the fun part about doing these shows is all the research. I like doing the research. And so as we researched the project, it was, you know, we found all these other writers who had drinking in common, and then we thought we had to incorporate all of them. So that's how it kind of started. And I remember the first time we did the show, the idea was we sat at the bar with the audience and drank with them.
I've seen that show, yeah.
So I remember I was a little afraid because I thought, yeah, I'm going to start drinking, I'm going to forget lines, and what's going to happen? And then as we progressed, it went from, you know, just a half a beer for the show to a full beer for the show, and then it was two beers, and then three, and it just got more comfortable. And now we've been doing it for so long, it's almost unheard of that I don't have a couple of beers before the show.
Well, you guys have had success. I mean, you did the show. I saw the show up at the Neo Futurarium or right around there in Andersonville,
yeah. Yeah.
At whatever the bar was at the
Tease.
Time. Tease, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you came downtown. You're in the West Loop. You've got this space, and it's not only evolved your show, the drinking and writing show, but you've created more. You've created an ensemble around it. You've created different alternative type shows that play at different times. Talk about the evolution and growth of drinking and writing.
You know, when we first did the show Drinking and Writing, we thought it was just going to be this intimate show where we talk to people sitting at a bar and we have a few beers with them. But it took off. We were just packing the house, and we thought we've tapped into that romantic idea about the drinker and writer. Even though the first play did end with the lives of these writers about what happened to all of them.
Right.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's never good.
Yeah. But then we were like, we got to do another one. We just did these series of drinking and writing shows about, you know, Prohibition and about
hangovers and.
Yeah, the hangover. We decided to like experiment on ourselves and do to cure a hangover, and we just started trying all the old wives' tales about what could cure that. And then we just kept doing more and more shows. It's not all of them were in the same vein of us sitting talking to the audience.
Right.
Some of them are just regular straight up plays. Now that we have our own space, I think it just kind of opens up what we can do. I mean, the Neo Futurist Theater, obviously, it's a great theater company, and a long running show, but. You know, we can't just do whatever we want there. So.
But here, you can.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And now we have this this new show that we started last April. It's called Versus. It's something versus something else. It changes. We try to do it once a month, and the subjects change. So right now the subject is the best of times versus the worst of times. Next month it's going to be Catcher in the Rye versus Ham on Rye. Upcoming will be IUD versus DUI.
And the idea being that there are different performers on either side of the issue?
Yeah, there's two teams on either side of the issue, two teams of three. And there's six rounds, and it's a battle of art. So they produce these short pieces, and they're fantastic young writer-performers up and coming in Chicago, and I feel real lucky to have them working with us because they're very enthusiastic and they're fantastic writers and performers.
Well, would you guys? I mean, I'm trying to think of it offhand. 2005, maybe 2004, when you guys first did your show.
2002.
2002.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're talking 14 years now of doing this. What I'm assuming when you guys set out to be a fun side project. I mean, it was a great show and it was cool, but it felt like it was neo-futurist ensemble members doing something fun and then they're back. But you guys have made your names and careers on drinking and writing. Talk about what's next for it. I mean, do you guys see yourself like staying with this concept and working together into the immediate future?
I think so. I think that, like I said, we have a lot of new people that are interested in what we're doing. And, I mean, my ultimate goal would be to have a bar. One side is a bar, the other side is the theater. And the theater would be a dedicated theater with taps and, you know, a full bar where we could do our show. We've kind of been a rogue theater company where we get to do shows in bars. And that's a bit challenging sometimes because business comes first as opposed
but
to
that,
the arts.
There's something just even romantic about the concept of this sort of interactive theater in a bar. I mean, when it comes to Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of shows in the back of bars, and that relationship with the room and the idea that you really do have to command attention. There are other things that people want to do, like watch TV or drink or talk to their friends. Yeah. It's a different kind of performing than the sort of set you sit in the seat and you watch us perform.
Well, it's funny. Last night we did. I had a show. It was last night at 8 o'clock. There was a guy. We have a bookshelf. It's the drinking writing bookshelf. And during one of the plays that I was doing, he pulled a book off the shelf and started reading it. And I didn't notice it, but Grace Murphy, who's she's one of the co-directors of the show, she walked out of the room because she was going to yell at him. And I didn't notice it. Otherwise, I would have grabbed the book out of his hand and threw it against the wall and said, pay attention to me, idiot. But that happens all the time. You know, there's always people on their cell phones or whatever. And I mean, it's just part of the show. And as hard it is, as it is, it just I'm used to it.
Yeah,
I've become accustomed to it.
To me, I've always felt like it's a certain type of performance. It's not the same as being – when you talk play and what you guys do, you know, to do that in the Neo-Futurarium – they came to see that. There's nothing else to do. They're watching.
Right.
When you're in a different setting, like the back of a bar, yeah. it takes a different kind of performance.
You know, one of my favorite, actually, this ties into you. One of my favorite audience participation moments we didn't plan was Sandy Marshall had brought us out to, was it Metropolitan?
Yeah, right. Metropolis. Yeah.
Metropolis. I'm thinking there's a brewery, Metropolitan. But but we were doing a show in the bar there. And this guy just kept talking and talking through it. And he was just being just too much. And he finally came up and sat with us. But the funny thing was, he was drunk and out of his mind. But he started like quoting Kerouac and all these great writers.
It made the show better, right?
And then afterwards, people in the audience was like, he's kind of the town drunk. He wakes up in our yard occasionally and stuff. And we're like,
well.
But for another group, it probably would have completely destroyed their show. But we were just like, this dude's part of the show
and
now.
I'm going with it. I mean, it feels like you have to be a certain type of performer or almost a veteran in the way that you have to go ebb and flow with that kind of concept. I've had so many, when we used to do shows, a shot in the back of the Gallery Cabaret.
Yeah,
you know, place would be packed, and it'd just be, you know, a lot of young people, hipster types that were, you know, like shoulder to shoulder to watch. But the one town drunk somehow made his way to the stage, and he stands up and he grabs a mic out of a performer's hand, and it becomes part of the show, and you got to roll with it. And there's something about that I find, you know, almost, I don't know because I don't know the other towns, but it seems uniquely Chicago.
There is a certain thing that happens here in Chicago, but
Few performers have like bounced the audience. Like, I think we were doing a show at the Hop Leaf upstairs, and this guy was getting out of hand and saying, I don't remember what he's saying, some anti-Semitic remark
and
Steve was like, boom, right out, kicked him out.
The
audience
was
cheering and happy, and we're like,
it's part of the show.
Kick somebody out, and people are happy.
Well, you know, you guys have done so much for, you know, for that Andersonville community and, you know, being able to put shows on, like you said, at Teaser, at Hop Leaf, and even what you do now in the West Loop community, which is not known as a theater district at all. That's a bar and restaurant area.
Right.
But your relationship as drinking and writing to drinking, I mean, as you sort of look back at the 15 years you put into this, I mean, has your relationship changed with alcohol?
There's a big pause there again, Sean.
Yeah, I take it a lot easier now.
It's funny. No, it's funny. I used to be more of a binge drinker, like not drink during the week and then on the weekend go crazy. Now I think I kind of spread it out a little bit. So I'll come home from work and have a few beers and that's good enough. But I do it, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. So I like to think that I have a good relationship with alcohol, you know.
Well, I just don't want to see you guys end up at the end of the writers at the end of the show and us. Sean Benjamin, Steve Mosqueda, they're the guys behind Drinking and Writing, which you can see at the Haymarket. The Drinking and Writing Theater is right behind there. And their story in the DNA Info from 5 years ago that was just published this week about walking drinking Western Avenue, I guess is the best way to put it.
Saturdays at 4 o'clock
is
Versus, and Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. And you can go to drinkingandwriting.com and find out more information.
There you go. Steve, Sean, good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.